141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about overeating during the holiday weekends like Labor Day and beyond. My guests are Cootie Mack, he's a fitness guru, and Tracy McWhorter, nutritionist and author of the book By Any Greens Necessary. We're taking as many calls as we can as we try to answer your questions about fitness, health, weight maintenance, and eating right. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Valise calling from Northwest Washington. Go right ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, so how are you?
I'm a carnivore.
Okay.
And I always will be a carnivore. I really can't do the vegetarian thing. But my issue is sugar consumption. Typically, I am an Atkins girl, high protein, low carb, but of late, for the past 2 months, I have been consuming a lot of sugar. So right now, I'm doing a sugar detox, and primarily what that consists of is a lot of complex carbohydrates, garbanzo beans, seeds, nuts, steel grain, oatmeal, and I am finding that as I consume all these complex carbohydrates, which is not typically what I do, it really is decreasing my desire for sugar. And I just wondered if you could speak to the connection between complex carbohydrates and sugar. I mean, typically,
Valise, let me see if our guests can talk about that. First of all, complex carbohydrates, what is that for the uninitiated?
So basically, complex carbohydrates are the carbs that come with fiber. So white rice is a refined, processed, simple carbohydrate. Brown rice, black rice, those are unprocessed. Those are whole grains. Those are complex carbohydrates.
Okay.
So the fiber is still there. The other nutrients are still there. It hasn't been bleached. White flour is a refined, simple carbohydrate. These things, white rice, white flour, white pasta.
White sugar.
Yeah. Those, they convert into sugar in your body because they have no fiber. And they also have had most of their nutrients removed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she's talking about complex carbs, she's basically talking about carbs as they should be when you eat something that is 100% whole grain,
okay,
right? So that's the difference.
Yeah, so along those lines, what you'll notice is when you have an abundance of nutrition, your body doesn't want sugar. Sugar is just the next best thing that your body can process and turn into energy, because all your body's looking for is energy. But the purest form of energy is nutrition, which is why we'll always stress vegetables, you know. And I'm a big proponent of juicing vegetables, and it's different from smoothies. And you can ask me about it offline or hit me on Twitter or something at Cootie Mack, and I'll break that down to you a little bit more when we have more time. But the more nutrition you have in your system, the less you'll want sugar. So that process is starting for you. And what you'll find is as you start to get healthier and your body starts to adjust, your body's going to look for the sugar wherever it can get it. So some of those complex carbs like brown rice might still start to do you in eventually, because your body's going to start pulling for the sugar wherever it can find it. So the cleaner your food, in other words, the more that your food is fiber dense and nutritiously dense, the less you'll need sugar, period.
Okay. Valise, thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. LaShawn, calling from Northeast, you have a question about your son.
Yes. My son is 15, and he's 240 pounds already.
How tall is he?
He's 5'6".
Okay.
He's 5'6". And he is a solid, but he overeats. I've taken him to a dietitian, and the dietitian told him that it's okay, told us that it's okay that he eats what he eats, because he's still growing.
Mm-mm.
And I say, no, you can't tell him that, because he overeats.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm trying to do is find out, because I've tried to get him a fitness person, and everybody I take them to, they say they don't work with kids. So my question is, do you all have someone who work with kids? And I stopped taking them to the dietitian because her telling him he could eat what he wants.
Yeah, that sounds like some really bad advice. LaShawn, let me see what our guests have to say about that. Not only about, 240 at 5'6". he's big.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
He's big and he's solid, though.
Yeah.
But he's still only 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, first and foremost, I'm certified and I train all ages. I mean, my demographics run from children all the way up to seniors. That I have a client that's 85. So, and a Spitfire. So I train all ages. So look, with discretion for people who train, that population.
Okay.
You can hit me, look me up on Facebook, BYBD Fitness and Nutrition, and maybe
okay,
just shoot
that
me. So it's BYBD, like Be Your Best Daily Fitness and Nutrition, and that's on Facebook. Or you can hit me directly on Twitter at KUTIMACK. Hit me directly, and I'll see if I can give you some point you in the right direction in terms of finding somebody that can work with him. And again, I hate to disparage anybody in our industry, but. The one thing that irks my nerves is when we as fitness professionals give people the easy way out and give and sugarcoat things, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tell them, well, you know, if you eat some Cheerios, it'll reduce your cholesterol, because Cheerios are better than Fruit Loops, but Cheerios are still sugar. You know what I mean?
Right,
so it's like,
right.
And especially when you have a person who's in a situation where this could get critical, you know.
Right.
Passivity, because now is the time.
Yeah, passivity is not the time.
He's 15.
Now is not the time to be like passive and placate. You know, we got to fix this. When I was younger, I thought I didn't like vegetables at all. And my mom actually revealed to me that I at least liked spinach. So I ate spinach every night.
So what should she do real quick? Because I want to grab some other phone calls. Get some real quick tips.
Add some veggies and fruits to his daily regimen. Find some stuff that he likes and then start there. And then maybe expand. Just try experiment with a plum or something every now and then. See what he likes. And just stick to the stuff he likes, but make sure he gets it every day. More water, less everything else.
Okay. And by the way, as always, the contact information websites will be on WHUR.com on the Daily Drum page after 8 o'clock. So you'll be able to reach out to both Tracy and Cootie. So again, LaShawn, thank you so much. Parenting, reaching out and trying to make sure your kids are healthy.
Thank you.
We are talking about overeating. We're talking about eating healthy, staying fit, not only as we move into the Labor Day weekend, but also beyond that, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rosalind calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Rosalind?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
I have type 2 diabetes, and I would like to know, what are the best foods to eat to control it, and how do I lose weight to get rid of the type 2?
How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
Well, 200 even.
And how tall are you?
5'6".
Okay.
So, Roslyn, I'm going to give it to you straight. The best thing to do, the healthiest foods to eat to even reverse diabetes, not manage it, not treat it, but to reverse type 2 diabetes, is to eat a whole foods plant-based diet, to eat whole plant-based food. So what that means is, if whatever you are having, if you have a stir fry, instead of putting chicken in it, you're going to put chickpeas in it, or you're going to put tofu in it, extra firm tofu, cut it up in cubes and throw it in there just like you would throw in chicken pieces, right? If you're going to have lasagna, you're not going to use cheese. Okay, if you have spaghetti with sauce, you're going to have marinara sauce and you're going to put roasted vegetables in there. If you have a wrap, you're not going to put chicken in the wrap. You're not going to put fish in the wrap. You're going to put some beans in the wrap. So black beans or red beans or chickpeas, garbanzo beans, navy beans, beans, lentils, split peas. These are the foods that are rich in fiber, high in protein, very low in fat. And these are the foods that are going to clear out your arteries, right?
It is very doable, too. And for those who are not, for example, vegetarians, what about fish or seafood or the like?
Here's the thing. With any animal-based food source,
mm-hmm.
you're also getting the hormonal influence of said animal. And that's saying this thing was wild caught in the whole nine, but most foods that we get are not. So you're also getting whatever the hurry up steroid,
antibiotics,
you're getting all that stuff too. So the cleaner, so when we talk about eating clean, we're talking about eating stuff that's devoid of all that. Now, I'm not a vegetarian, I'm not a vegan. One would argue that though if they came and looked in my refrigerator,
right?
But I'm not a vegan, but I eat like one most of the time, and that's what's going to help you reverse the type 2 diabetes, because I've done it with clients left and right,
okay.
So it can be done. So really have hope, you know, and just like Tracy said, plants, you know, plant based
exercise.
Diets.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So you know how you see in the sort of organic plant based protein shake? I mean the shake. Mm-hmm. Is that okay to you?
I'm not a super huge fan of anything that's like that's packaged.
Mm-hmm.
If it's because you can make all this stuff on your own. If you have a blender, if you have a juicer, you can make these things on your own. And they're not hard to make. It's really, really simple. So, you know, you don't need a bunch of like powders and all that kind of stuff. Nature has everything that you need right there in the produce section.
Okay.
You can get this from the library. My book, you don't have to buy it, but I give you a whole menu, 7-day meal plan, transition plan, and recipes. You can get it from your local library by Any Greens Necessary is the book. And I talk specifically about diabetes in there as well. Okay.
Rosalind, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Deshaun calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm calling in regards to, I heard you mention earlier about digestion and how long it takes for food to digest. What is your take on food combinations, food combining?
There are theories when it comes to food combining.
What is food combining?
So some people say, well, if you eat starches, you shouldn't eat meats, or if you eat plants, you shouldn't, like, you know, just pairing up foods that way. I try hard to keep it simple. And just like Tracy said, plants. Now, if you, in terms of like that, the speed with which food, digests through your body, metabolizes through your body, if you're going to indulge in animal-sourced foods, like in my experience, stuff like Greek yogurt, eggs are kind of like the fastest, fish, seafood, next fastest, poultry, next fastest, if I will, least fast would be pork, red meat. So if you had to dip into that side of things, that's sort of the order that you would want to kind of indulge. If you're out this weekend and you're eating at the cookout, I always try to set my plate up in a ratio where if I'm going to indulge in off-program food, 50% of my plate always has to be the raw veggie option.
Absolutely.
So salad.
Yep.
And then 25% of my plate will either be fruit or the cooked veggie option. And that last quarter of your plate can be whatever you want. This isn't special occasion. I'm not talking about every night now, but like, you know, the Thanksgivings, the Christmases, the cookouts, you go that way. That way you don't feel like a social misfit. You get a taste of whatever you want, but you're still loading yourself with fiber and nutrition, and it'll help push that stuff out a little bit quicker than it normally would on its own.
And I want to chime in with what Kuti said about food combining. In terms of plant-based foods or vegan foods, it used to be that you had to have beans and rice together. You know, people thought that you had to have specific combinations like that, a grain and a bean, in order for you to get a complete protein. But that is a myth. That is not true. There's protein in every single plant-based foods, just in different quantities. So lentils have the most protein, but even an avocado has 9 grams of protein. So you just have to
kale has a ton of protein.
Yeah.
In it.
Deshaun, I've got to go to a break, unfortunately.
Okay.
But we appreciate your phone call. Good luck to
Great
you.
Great questions.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk to Rick in Clinton. He wants to talk about belly fat. That's a really, really big thing. And I'm not talking about the belly. I'm talking about the issue. Rick, hang in there with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. The way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about overeating, staying fit, eating right, being healthy, not just during holiday weekends like Labor Day, but also afterwards. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rick, calling from Clinton, you want to talk about belly fat. Go right ahead.
Yes. First of all, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out a way to get rid of the stubborn belly fat. I don't do meat. I'm not a vegan, but I don't do any meat. I do fish and tofu and salmon and some seafood.
Okay. So first and foremost, when it comes down to starches like potatoes, rice, do you eat a lot of that stuff?
I eat a lot of rice. I don't do a lot of bread, but I do eat a lot of rice.
Okay, cool. I used to, too, as well. Father's Nigerian. That was just going to happen.
That's the way it is.
It's,
right?
It's one of the saddest parts of my existence right now is I don't get to do that all the time. But think about this. When you have the goal of losing belly fat, and understand, we live in America, so whatever you give up for a little while, believe me, it'll be there waiting for you once you hit your goal. So hit your goal first. So what you want to do, go as hard as you can on veggies, even as it comes like the fish and the chicken. Those are healthier choices. But like I was talking about earlier in terms of how stuff processes through your system, if you did fish like Monday, go all fruits and vegetables on Tuesday. On Wednesday, do chicken. Then, you know, fruits and vegetables on Thursday and so on and so forth. And also make that animal product consumption only one time in the day. So some people have yogurt in the morning, fish for lunch, chicken for dinner. All that stuff is stacking up in your system. So the more you pull those animal products out of your diet, add fruit, add vegetables, add water to your diet, and then do something active. You don't have to kill the gym and be some Olympic swimmer, or anything like that. But if you just do something active that raises your heart rate to about 145, 155 beats per minute for 30 minutes and do that three times, mm-hmm. that could be a brisk walk. That could be just going up and down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that and you will see results, I promise you. And like I always say, if you can, get a juicer and juice. Don't blend. Not a ninja, not a blender, not a smoothie, but get a juicer and juice vegetables. Do that within the first 90 minutes of waking up and one more time in the evening. Something as simple as cucumbers and spinach with a little bit of ginger if you need it for taste. And you do that consistently for like the next 11 to 14 days. You'll see and feel all kinds of changes and differences. And again, find me on social media and I can give you more detailed tips about that. But that will be a key that will transform you in no time.
You wanted to say something real quick?
I was just gonna add some easily digested beans on those days that you may not be doing when you're not doing the animal products, like the lentils and the split peas, the black beans.
Mm-hmm.
If you still want some high protein plant-based foods on those days with the fruits and vegetables, but it's not replacing a piece of chicken, it's not replacing a pork chop or a steak, it's just about a quarter of the plate. It's just like a condiment size version. Okay.
Well, Rick, good luck to you. Hang in there. We appreciate your phone call. Let's talk a little bit about alcohol consumption, because there's going to be a lot of that at the cookout, at the barbecue this weekend. For those who like to indulge, what impact does alcohol have on weight and healthy eating?
It's funny because a lot of times when we started on the alcohol discussion, before I started to open my mouth, clients would go, I know, it's the sugar. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about the sugar.
The margaritas or the pina coladas.
I'm not even going to talk about the sugar. When you think about it, if you see some guy on the street who's destitute and he's a drunk, he's an alcoholic, if they take him in and he's sick, the first thing he's going to have, or even if you have a relative who has a problem with alcohol, usually the most chronic disease that person has is liver.
Right.
Your liver processes all your hormonal signals. So what happens is when you drink alcohol, sip on some alcohol, it slows your liver functions down. If your liver functions are slowed down, it means that the hormonal processing is slowed down. So and the hormones will tell your body, lose weight, grow hair, blink, sweat. So now if those messages are slowing down, then you will lose lose weight really slow. You get what I'm saying? So if you start to, so if you don't indulge in alcohol, drink water, livers, eat foods that clean your liver out, these vegetables and fruits that we're talking about. So clean your liver out. Your liver functions your liver functions the way it's supposed to, and these signals start processing the way they should, mm-hmm. and the cells communicate the way they should.
So people are going to drink, and
they don't have to.
No, you don't have to, certainly, but people do.
Right.
And I'm not talking about those who drink in excess.
Right.
But are there some, alcohol certainly is alcohol because that's the bottom line. But are there some forms of beverages that may have less sugar than others? For example, I mentioned pina coladas and margaritas. Obviously, those are just chock full of sugar. But what about beer as opposed to, say, scotch or rum?
In my estimation, I'm just like this. I'd rather you know how these foods affect you, mm-hmm. and let you make your decision based on whatever your goals are. So if your goals are to cut body fat, cut belly fat, drinking's not going to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I'm not going to criminalize it. If you want to drink, just know, okay, I just set myself back a couple of days and, I got to get back on program. But I don't even, like I said, I don't even address the sugar in alcohol. It's function. It's the way it affects your liver function that to me is the most crucial, because that's like the most detrimental to you,
Let's talk a little bit about how people eat, the process of eating, Tracy.
Okay. Specifically, you mean how they guzzle their food,
right,
they inhale
exactly.
their
Tempo.
Food. Yes. Okay. So yeah, it's an excellent point, and that definitely leads to overeating. It takes your brain about 15 to 20 minutes to register that it is full. And a lot of people will sit and eat their meal within 10 minutes, right? They're just guzzling. They never put their fork down. And we were just talking about that on the break, that it is a really good idea to train yourself to put the fork, the spoon down in between bites. Try it tonight. It is a challenge, and you will realize that you sit there holding your utensil for the entire time, and you don't allow yourself to swallow before you start digging into your plate to take the next bite. So you are really wolfing down your food. So yes, if you put the utensil down, you are going to eat more slowly. You want to give your brain enough time to register what it's tasting and that it's digesting, it's processing, and you want to be able to receive the signal that you're full. So when you sit down, expect to have enough time to eat for 20 minutes. And even if you finished your food in 10 minutes, sit there for another 10 to 15 minutes before you go and get another helping so that your brain can register that you're full.
What about eating late at night, particularly for those who may have your standard 9-to-5 job,
mm-hmm.
and they always want to get a bowl of ice cream or something right before they, watch the evening news or, the Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon or what have you. What impact does late night snacking have on weight loss?
But depend on what you're eating, because generally speaking, vegetables are always on the table, always good. Vegetables, it's very hard, unless you have specific biological conditions, it's very hard for a vegetable to do you dirty, and water. So that, and some fruit. And so that said, if you eat inside of 3 hours of going to sleep, you're not really giving your body a chance to really utilize the energy you've just stored with it. So it just kind of lays dormant. And anything that sits dormant in your system converts to sugar, which converts to fat.
Okay.
So you don't get a chance to use that stuff. Pay attention to what it is that you're eating when you eat late at night. Because if you're eating sugar type, foods with sugar or carbs, if you're going for those, if you feel this kind of pull, because nobody has that pull to go grab a piece of celery at midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, real talk.
Except for Tracy, of course, right?
No, I don't.
But even she doesn't. That's what I say. I bet even she doesn't. So nobody has that pull to go do that. So when you're going for sugar late at night, all it means is that you did not eat enough during the day. Mm-hmm. You didn't give yourself enough energy and nutrition during the day. And like I said, your body knows that it can process sugar quickly. You ever open up the refrigerator and look at it and it's full of food and you say, man, there's nothing here to eat.
Mm-hmm.
When you see that, that means there's probably nothing but vegetables in there, because your body doesn't see sugar. When your body sees quick sugar, it's like, oh, I'm going to grab that. Even if it's nutritious, you'll see some cut up pineapple versus some cut up strawberries, and you'll grab the pineapple.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about it, because your body's looking for sugar.
And real quick, if somebody wants to gain weight,
mm-hmm.
what do you suggest for them? I got about 2 minutes. Go right ahead, Tracy.
If you want to gain weight in a healthy way, you can do things like nut butters.
Mm-hmm.
That would be almond butter, peanut butter, cashew butter, tahini, which is sesame seed butter on some toast. And the best time to do that is in the morning or at lunch, right? So you want to add these nut butters. You can actually add whole nuts. A handful of nuts, a half a cup to a cup, in any kind of nut, and make it a raw, unsalted, unroasted nut. And you want to eat avocado. Try to eat at least one avocado a day. These are all healthy fats.
Healthy fats,
and these are the ones that you should be eating on a regular basis anyway. But you can also just increase the amount of food that you're eating. So, for example, if you're eating all or primarily whole foods, plant-based foods, then you basically can eat more. If you're more athletic, if you're for whatever reason that you want to gain weight or you need to gain weight, you can add more calories pretty easily by doing some of these healthy fats, some more grains.
And that grains. And not to cut you off, but and that's where the some of the healthier starches come into play, like quinoa,
mm-hmm.
millet, these seeds and grains that you can use, like brown rice, sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. That's where these things really come into play.
Okay, well, happy Labor Day for both of you. I hope that you
get a rib for me, man.
Yeah, just one rib.
Yeah, just
you.
One rib.
Just one rib. Cootie bag,
no
Chrissy.
Comment.
Yeah.
I got yours. How about that?
There you go. Cootie Mac, Tracy McWhorter, thank you both so much. And as I said before, their information will be posted on WHUR.com in about 30 minutes or so. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, September 1st. Wow.
Oh, wow.
We're in September. Okay. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
School is out and it's sort of a buzz. But back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHPC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel